Things have happened to us over the years. Our lives, our bodies begin to reflect a change. A change because of the fact that we're getting older. Hopefully, we're getting a lot wiser as well. But as our bodies begin to change, our mind begins to wander a little bit. And when I say our minds begin to wander, many of us have been in God's church for many of years. We've gone through a lot. We have seen a lot. And yet, we are still here. We're still here trying to fulfill the plan of God for each and every one of us. And that plan is to be a part of his kingdom, to serve with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. God has a plan for each of us. Have we forgotten the plan? Have we grown tired and become weary? Because maybe that fire that was within us when God first called us into his work is diminishing a little bit. And if it's diminishing, the question I want to ask all of us, which is the same question that I ask myself, what caused this fire to diminish? Well, many of us sitting in this room, I'm not going to ask you to show hands, but if I asked you all to show your hands about your zeal and your excitement about the work of God when God first introduced it to you, we would all probably say the same thing. Wow, you know, it was something very amazing. It was something new. It was something that God had revealed to us. And when God gave us his truth for the very first time, what did you want to do with that truth? What did you want to do with it? You would come to church. You would listen to the messages. You would go to Bible study. You would pray. You will fellowship with God's people week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, feast after feast. What did you want to do with all that information that God had given to you? I would believe that many of us would answer this question by saying, we wanted to go out and share it with the world. We wanted to go out and share it with our family. We wanted our families to see and to hear the things that God had given to us. And when we did this, something went wrong. Something went wrong. Our families didn't take to it. Some did, some did not. Our friends began to think, you know, I thought you were weird. Now I know for a fact that you really are a strange duck. You really are a strange duck. You actually look like a duck. You walk like a duck. But you ain't no duck. And that's the way they looked at you and me. Because, and I'm sorry for using the word ain't, but it just was kind of fitting at that moment. But the thing of what I'm saying, family, is this. They saw us differently. Now, was there anything wrong with our zeal? Was there anything wrong with us being on fire about the truth of God? Was there anything wrong with that? Was there anything wrong with us wanting to go out and share it with our family and our friends? We shared it with our children when they were little, growing up. We had them all fired up. We had them all excited. And then what did our children do? Well, they wanted to share it with everyone. No one could spread the gospel of God quicker than our kids. Because everywhere they went, what were they doing? They were telling people about God. Little children. And they were singing about God. And yet, there was nothing wrong with that. But again, something happened. Something happened. People resisted you and me because they weren't ready to accept what we were trying to give to them. And so therefore, somewhere along the line, we may have become discouraged. Because we don't understand, well, why, God? You gave this to me, and I'm trying to share this with everyone else. Well, do we remember what our responsibilities were? Do we understand why God called us? Do we understand that process? Well, this morning, we want to talk about that process. The title for this morning's service is, What is God's Will for Me? What is His will for me? Because within our lives right now, today, some of us might be asking that question. You know, God, what is your will for me? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to say anymore. So, Father, what is it that you want me to do? What is your will for me? Well, let's start by understanding what the mission was. What did God commission the disciples to do? What did He commission you and me today to do? We find that commission over in Mark 16 and in verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 16. He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have a responsibility. We have a duty that God has given to us to go out and to preach that gospel. He who believes and will be baptized will be saved. But he that does not believe will be condemned. We were supposed to go out and spread this message to the world. Now, in this commission for us to go and preach the gospel to the world, it did not say that our responsibility was to take our family members and our friends and others and convert them. That wasn't our job. Our job was to preach a message. We, the disciples of Jesus Christ, were to go out and spread that word. But yet, in the process of doing so, we got excited. We just didn't preach that gospel. We kind of took the Bible and beat it over a few people's heads, too. Why? Because we wanted them to get it. We wanted them to understand what God was giving to us. Hey, come on, it's written right here. Can't you see it? Read this. They read it, but they didn't get it. And why did they not get it? Why didn't they understand it? But I understand it, but they didn't understand it. And so we begin to lose that zeal and fire because we think, well, maybe I did something wrong. Well, family, we did do something wrong. We did do something wrong. We didn't understand what the plan was for us in the beginning. We grew to understand that. As we continue to come to services, as we continue to study our Bibles, over time, we begin to get it. We begin to get it. And so, what do we do wrong? Through our excitement and zeal for the truth of God, here are two things we did wrong. One, we wanted to convert family and friends who God was not calling. Now, that might be a hard pill to swallow, but it is the truth. We were trying to convert, and see, conversion, family, is a process. It's a process, something that occurs over time. God introduced His way of life and His word and His truth to us. We bought into it, but it took time for us to have a change of mind and a change of heart when it came to understanding God's word. Because God didn't give it to us all at once. He gives it to us a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time here. We wanted to convert family and friends God was not calling. He wasn't calling them. He called you. He called me. Remember John 6:44? What did He say? Christ says, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent Him, Jesus Christ, draws this individual. So God was not drawing our family members at that time, our friends at that time. The one who the Father called was you and me. Number two, we fail to realize that what God had given to us was just for us. It was our minds that were being converted to God's way of life. It was you and me that God was dealing with. Not our family, not our friends, not the world. He called you and me out of the world so that he could begin to work with us. He has a special plan for you and me, and we together have to continue to follow that mission that he has given to us to execute. We have a job to do. So how do we get back on track? How do we rekindle the fire that was within us when God first gave us his truth? How do we begin to have that zeal for the truth of God once again? And so today, we begin to look at what is God's will for me and trying to understand this. Because I've asked that question to myself. I found myself at a moment and I've asked God, what do you want me to do? What is your will for me? I know I've shared this with you over times past, but when you have a widow sitting at the feast and might be sitting in a wheelchair who feel like, you know what? You know, I feel useless. Don't feel useless. Don't feel useless. Because, you see, the blessing that I see there is if you're sitting in a wheelchair parked at the feast, now you are drawing attention to yourself and others can come to you. And when others come to you, you have an opportunity to serve them. You see, if you weren't in that wheelchair, you'd be running all over the place. You'd be busy. I don't know if any of you know this or not. It's not easy to keep up with some of these widows in the church. It is not. Don't stop and think for one minute that because you see a widow and she's gray-haired or she might be moving slow, just do me one favor. Don't try to keep up with her. You will be amazed and surprised. They will leave you at the curb trying to reach for the door to assist them. And I kid you not. Don't assume. But yet, do not feel, if you're handicapped in any way, that God cannot use you. Because he can, and he will. And so, we have to constantly be reminded that God has a plan. Romans 12. Let's go to verse 1 here in Romans 12. What is the will of God for me? Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, I have to present my body as a living sacrifice. How do I do that? Well, I have to come out of this world and I have to reflect God's way of life and not the world's way of life. You know, I may want to run out here and be by the pool and have on this real skimpy bikini. Well, you know, I can't do that. Because one, I couldn't get in a bikini. And two, you can't either. Because you have to present your body. I have to present my body as a living sacrifice. We have to reflect the modesty that God has given to each other. We have to reflect that way of life. You know, yes, oh, but that looks cute. Yes. To the world, to the wrong eyes. And this is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. On our jobs, you know, hanging out, getting drunk with the boys. We can't do that. Well, you know, it's kind of fun. Well, it might be. But we cannot do that. We're going to always look like an odd duck. And that's okay. We're supposed to. We are supposed to look like an odd duck. When the boys are all gathered around over here doing boy things, we're over here doing God things, presenting our bodies, our mind, everything that we do as a living sacrifice, not participating in these things because God has us over here for a reason. He didn't call us to convert anyone. He called us to reflect his way of life. And so that's what we have to do. He says that we are to be holy and acceptable to God. See, not to the world. He says to be acceptable to God. We have a tendency of wanting to be acceptable to the world. But you see, we can't, because God called each one of us out of this world for his purpose. Be holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in order to understand what God's will is for you and me, we have to be in one accord with God and not the world. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You see, we are to be humble. You see, this is the responsibilities that God has given to us. This is our job. He gave us a commission that we go out and we preach that gospel. And now to continue to understand and moving forward, okay, I did some things wrong. I went about this the wrong way. I wanted to go out and convert friends and families. But okay, now God, I see it. I get it. I understand it. I was excited. I was on fire because you gave me your word. You gave me this truth, and I just wanted to share it. And you know what? God understands that. He understands that's what we wanted to do. But we took his job. He does the calling. What we have to do is prepare ourselves to serve and work with those that God calls. Now, how do we do that? Well, we got to get back on track here. We have to get back on track. And family, this is very encouraging to me, and I hope it's very encouraging to all of you as well, because the hope is that we rekindle that zeal and that fire that we once had for God's truth and for his word, and begin to pick up the pieces of our lives and move forward. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be beaten down and stuck in a rut because we don't understand. We want God to be so clear, you know. God, if you could just tell me to go down this road right here, I'll do it. I did. I did tell you to go down this road. You read it. You didn't believe it, because it didn't look like the road that God was calling us down. But yet it was. It was. And we'll go on and we'll see this more and more. He says, I want you to think soberly. Have a sober mind. Have a clear mind. Have a humble mind. As God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function. Okay, so here we are. You and me. He's telling us that we have a duty. We have a function. We have a responsibility. But all of us don't have the same duty and the same function. He goes on to say, verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another, having then different gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. And let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Each one of us, we have a different gift. And so God wants us to use those gifts in moving forward. That is his will for you and for me. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving, perseverance to one another. not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Right here is quite a bit for us to be working on, to incorporate within our daily lives. He has given us our duty. This is his will for you and for me. Verse 17, he says, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. That's not easy. And when he says bless those, he means in a godly way and not a worldly way. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Here is what he is telling us to do. And we are to do this within the family of God. We also will do this outside the family of God because we want to set that godly example before others. And do not set your minds on high things, but associate with humble. You know, we want to climb to the top of the ladder here. Well, maybe God doesn't want us at the top of the ladder. Because if we get at the top of the ladder, what will we do? We'll be singing that old song, I Did It My Way. And then we'll find out, as we come down the ladder, those that we hurt going up, we'll see coming right back down. And the blessing for that is, those that you hurt going up will probably more likely be there to help you back up. They will help you back up. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. In other words, do not come to conclusions of matters within our own personal lives without God guiding and directing our lives, our heart, our hearts, our thoughts. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceable with all men. Here's a big charge here for you and me. And each one of these duties that God has given us here, who is it talking about and who is it talking to? It's talking about you and me. God is talking to you and me. He's telling us, here's what I want you to do. You want to know what my will is? Well, here it is. Here's what I want you to do. And it's not always easy to live peaceably with all men. It's not easy, but you know what? We've been given a charge to do that. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. He says, I will do this. We can't even go out and take revenge about something that was done wrong or evil to us. We have to turn it over to God. We have to turn it over to God. So what that means, family, is this charge, this duty is difficult because that means we have to let go. We have to let go. But God, no, we have to let go. We have to give it up to God. We have to let God deal with it. Because God will deal with it in a way in which we cannot. We cannot. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Your enemy will not understand why you're being so nice and so kind to me when I've done you so wrong. Why are you doing this? Because this is the will of God for me. His will is that I do this. Because when I do this, I honor him. Everything I do, it must reflect God's will in my life. And in order for us to know what that will is, we have to be in tune with the instructions given to us. John 15. But in verse 21 here, as I close out, he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil, in verse 21 here, overcome evil with good. That is the will of God for you and me. John 15, we need to identify with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We need to know who he is. And again, to understand what his will is for us, we have to be connected with him. We have to be in tune with him. In John 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Reminding us of his role, reminding us of what he is doing. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. You see, if I'm not doing the things that God has charged me to do, then he's going to remove that branch. Every branch that bears fruit, he's going to prune. What am I doing wrong? Well, God is working on that. He is working with each one of us. He is pruning us to bear more fruit. You know, the interesting thing, we have some beautiful trees around my apartment complex, and they bloom out. I mean, they're so beautiful. And all of a sudden, I come home, and all the trees were just cut back to the bare branches. Wasn't a plant, wasn't anything on the trees. I stopped and said, what are you people doing? We don't do this up north. We don't destroy a tree like this. There were seven trees. No shade now. The sun is directly upon me. Why? They pruned those trees 2 months ago. And man, I wish you could see those trees now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They pruned those trees back, and I tell you, they are beautiful right now. And when I look at those trees, I'm reminded of this, that when God prunes, he takes away a lot of junk from us. There's junk, family, that we carry around within our hearts, within our minds. And when God is working with us, he's helping us to get rid of that junk. And so he's going to prune us. And this is what he is saying. He says, I am the true vine, but my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And that's what these trees, these seven trees, are doing. Because they have pruned them back. They look like a big giant stick for a while here. Every day I would come home like, this will never grow back. They've destroyed the trees. They're gone forever. No, we're still here. We aren't gone forever. God is still working with us. He is still pruning us. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you want to understand and to know what the will of God is for you today, we have to be connected to this tree. We have to be in tune with the vine, Jesus Christ, and the vine dresser, God the Father. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. This is his will for you and to me. I want you to bear much fruit. Why? Because I have a purpose for you. God is converting you and me. He is preparing us for his plan and his purpose. And what we have to do is let him continue to work within us. Sometimes it doesn't look like, or nor do we understand what God is doing. If you would do one thing for me in this message, grab a hold of those seven trees in my apartment complex that were cut back to what I call the sticks. It was this big tree with just sticks hanging all over the place. And give it a moment and see what God does with it. That's you and me. I have watched us grow over the past few months by watching those trees. They're beautiful right now. I should have taken a picture of them and show them to you. Maybe I'll do that the next time I see them go through the complex and cut the next row down. Maybe I will. I'll take a picture of them, and I'll take a picture of them 2 months later to show us what God is doing in our lives. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gathered them, and they threw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You will be my disciples. He wants us here, family, to bear fruit. That is his will for you and me. As the Father loved me, and I also loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Here's another duty. Again, these are instructions to you and me. I have not found the instructions yet that we're supposed to go and convert our families and friends. These are instructions to you and to me of things that we have to do to understand, moving forward, what is that will. What is your will for me, Father? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that you, your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Can we do that? Are we willing to do that? Christ says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What is the will? Father, what is your will for me? Keep my commandments. Do whatever I command you to do. Here are the instructions. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, here's what he wants us to understand. Because when it comes to that calling, no one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father who sent Jesus Christ draws that individual. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. We didn't choose Jesus Christ. We didn't choose God the Father. They chose us. What a great blessing. What a great opportunity. Because they are working with us today to become the disciples, the teachers of tomorrow. He says, but I have chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. You see, we have to be doing our part in order to see this part fulfilled. These things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. Now, you want to know why our family and friends turned away from us and rejected what we were trying to share with them? It's because God was not calling them. And then you have those that hate us for even doing so. And if you read from verse 18 on there, you will see where Christ is reminding us, listen, I called you out of the world. Now the world hates you. You see, you're this odd duck sitting over here. You're not over here. Oh, you think you're better than the rest of us? No, I don't think that I'm better than you. It's, I've been called to do something different than you. And we don't have to preach or offend others because we don't want to associate with them and their behavior, or because we don't want to sit around the pool with practically nothing on. Men or women, doesn't make any difference. It goes both ways. You know, men want to flex their physique, walk around, because, you know, what do we see on television all the time? You know, we see women in those bikinis, and the woman's like, oh, I'll never be able to get in that bikini again. Oh, well, maybe I'll get in this diet, or maybe I'll start this exercise program. But if that's what we're doing it for, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. Because God called us to be different. He called us to be separate. And so in doing so, the world is not going to like us because they're going to feel like we think that we are better than they are. No, God is working with us. He is humbling you and me today. They don't get it today. He's not calling them today. He's calling us. So we're over here. We're learning to be modest. We're learning to discipline our tongues. We're not walking around drunkards. We're not walking around on drugs. We're not high on what the world gives to us to be high with. We're different. And Christ says here, hey, I want you to understand one thing here. If the world hates you, it's okay. They hated me before they hated you. And they're going to hate you because of what you're not doing and because of the fact that we make them look bad. That is not our purpose. That is not our intent. This is our duty. What is the will of God for me? Christ says, whatever I command you, do it. Abide in me. And remember, I am the vine. You, my Father, is the vine dresser. And he will prune every tree so that it can bear much fruit. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, and verse 13. We read, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, and beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. We have been set apart. God has set us apart. He is the one that makes us to be different. It's his call. He called us out of the world. He's given us the instructions. He says, therefore, brethren, verse 15, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you were taught. What traditions? The traditions that we were taught here, whether by word or whether by the epistle. You hold on to that. God has given us something here to hold on to. And so he tells us to stand fast. Don't let it go. Verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He will establish us. He will confirm us. All we have to do here is to stand fast with what has been given to us. He brought you into the knowledge of his truth. He brought you into the fellowship of his people. God has chosen you and me to be where we are today, right here, learning, growing, and fulfilling his will. This calling, family, was about you and me, not about the world, not about my friends, not about my family, not about my children. It was about you personally and me. So I ask the question, what is the will of God for you and me? We're told to go out to preach the gospel. Matthew 5, verse 13, we're told, you are the salt of the earth. Whether the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but thrown out and trampled underfoot. He says, you are the salt of the earth. God is using us to add a little flavor down here that he can work with, and to add where he wants it added, to call those that he wants to call. But we have to be doing what we have been commissioned to do. And our commission was not to go and to convert our family and friends. We're to be the salt. Verse 14, we're to be a light into a world that is trapped in darkness. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Be a light. You know, if I'm standing over in this corner, be a light. Reflect God's way of life into a world that is dark. Why? Because whomever God is beginning to work with, he will direct them to that light. And as he directs them to that light, they will come. They will ask questions of you and me. And we're supposed to be ready to give an answer. But you see, the thing of it is, listen to the question. Why are you standing over in this corner? Well, because I am under the authority of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and I do his will. But what is the will of God for you? To be an example of his way of life so that you can see it and see that it does exist. He does exist. He's real. And he's alive. We're told to be a light. Revelation 3, verse 15. God reminds us. He says in verse 15 of Revelation 3, he says, I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. I wish you would be cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. But we don't want to be rejected from God, and we do not want to be rejected out of the body of God. But he wants us to be hot or cold. And family, there was a time when we were on fire for the work of God. And I believe that we still are to a certain degree, but that flame is not up like it used to be, because we've been beaten down. We've been discouraged. Family, the commission hasn't changed. God hasn't changed the direction of where we're going. He has not changed his word or his promises to us. So therefore, let's be reminded and encouraged today that his word still holds true for you and me. And what is his will for us? His will is for us to bear fruit, to do the commandments that Christ has given to us to do. This alone, family, we should be on fire about. We should be encouraged about. Because this is still a part of his will. Luke 14 and verse 26, you don't have to turn there. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What is he saying to us there? He is saying that we have to love less. We can't love our family members more and him less. No, we have to love him more. We have to love him more and do his will. God is about family, and God is about building a family. But God is building his family in you and me today. Yes, we want our children. We want our grandchildren. We want Aunt Mary, Uncle Joe, Grandpa John. We want everybody to be a part of what God has given to us. And you know what? God wants that too. But in time. In time. Right now, God is only dealing with you and me. And his focus is on you and me. And his focus is for us to know and to understand what his will is and to do that will. 1 Corinthians 1, let's do turn there. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish and the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who will believe it. For Jews request a sign, the Greeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Now, we don't like to see ourselves as being foolish, but you know what? God created us. He's calling it what it is. God has chosen the foolish of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ, who because for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, we're reminded again of God's calling of us and why he called us and what his purpose is and what he's going to do. You know, we go over, you don't have to turn here, but you can jot 1 Corinthians 12 down, 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 1 through 26. What do we read here? We read that God has placed each one of us in the body where it pleases him. You and I are in this body together, and it pleases him that we are together. Now, in this body, we can't decide that, okay, because I'm the arms, I'm not of any importance, or because I'm the legs, I'm not of any importance, or because I'm the head. God says each member of this body has its purpose. You and me are the members in this body of Jesus Christ. And each one of us have a purpose. We have a functional purpose. We have a different direction that he is putting us on. And he's sending us out to do different things. But we're still of the body of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 12. We are in this body where it pleases him. And each member functions accordingly to his will, to his purpose. What is God's will through 1 Corinthians 12? Is that we recognize and understand that each one of us, we have a different function in this body. And each function that we have here, it pleases God. First Thessalonians 5, verse 18. You don't have to turn there, because it says in verse 18, in everything that we do, give thanks. Why? In everything, Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, he says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. Today, we give thanks to God for allowing us to have a more clear understanding and focus as we move forward as to what his will is for you and for me. His will is that we go and we do the work that he has commissioned us to do. Not to be hung up on, I made mistakes. He knows that. He realizes that. But if you're going to be hung up on something, be hung up on rekindling that fire that we once had. That zeal that we had about the word and the truth of God. Let's become on fire once again as we go back and we revisit that commission, we revisit the duties, the instructions that God has given us today. Let us abide in that love that Jesus Christ talked about. Let us keep his commandments. Let us do the things that he is commanding each of us to do. Family, we have to rise up today. Be excited once again. Be on fire once again about the word and the truth of God. He wants us to rekindle that fire, that love. Okay, we went about it the wrong way. We wanted to go out and convert the world. Okay? Let us now do it his way. Let us be the examples and the light that he wants us to be. Because through those examples, through the light, he's able to lead people to you and to me. Not to convert, but to give that understanding, to listen to what is being asked of us, and to answer only in according to what was asked of us. Not to think, oh, here you are, okay, I've got the Bible, all right, I'm pulling out. You do that, and they're done. You've lost them. You know why? Because the world does this too much. This book means nothing to the world, but it means everything to you and to me. It means everything to you and to me. Let's listen carefully what is being asked of us, and let's answer with wisdom, with that godly wisdom that God would have us to do. The answer to the question should be simple, but you know what? It's not. So what is the will of God for you and me? To do his will. To do his will.